You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla Desroches, and I have a couple of people here with me today, both of whom are involved in co-ops that are growing and thriving here in Kodiak or are still being planned. So could you guys introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Marissa Collar-Williams. I am the Healthy Tomorrows coordinator and food co-op committee chairperson, co-chair, as it may be.
I am Dana Myers, and I am involved with Kodiak Bounty Cooperative. We are on our second year, and I'm also involved in Healthy Tomorrow's Food Co-op Committee.
Yeah, and you guys actually have very different co-ops, especially in the way that they came to be. And Marissa, your story is very uniquely based in something that the community may have heard of already. So could you explain the backstory behind this co-op and some of the other initiatives that kind of go along with that?
Sure. So in December, Healthy Tomorrows hosted the Kodiak Strong Community Planning Day, and the community came together and brainstormed ideas on how to improve health, wellness, and the quality of life in the community. And three initiatives were chosen. We actually had a tie. We were shooting for two, but we had a tie, so we ended up with three. One of them was the Homeless Connect initiative, and then there was a Strengthening Downtown initiative, which kind of turned into a downtown farmers market. The third one, I'm not really sure how they scored, I'm not really sure where they ranked, but, you know, they were at the top of the pack, was a food co-op featuring locally grown seafood and locally harvested seafood and locally grown produce, and with an annual festival sort of celebrating local vore. So we got together, and our original goal was just to develop an infrastructure for a co-op, which was before we learned about Kodiak Bounty, Dana's co-op. So once we found out that that existed, we thought, wow, we can do something a lot bigger because there's already a group of people who have the same ideas we do. So, of course, we reined Dana in and some of her board members to help us get this project off the ground. So right now we have two subcommittees. We have sort of the gardening farmers subcommittee and the fishing subcommittee. And we realized at our first meeting, our first real meeting in January, that this was really the first time this conversation was being had in Kodiak. Like, the fishermen and farmers had never really gotten together and said, let's do something. So we're really proud of that. We felt like we really gained some ground there as far as our community goes. But now we're in the process of planning, really. So our goal now is to have a storefront that consistently features locally grown produce and locally harvested seafood. Hopefully, if some of our grant funding comes through, we may also be able to have an artist co-op in the same building. And who knows where that will go. That could end up being something where you can also get eggs and cheese and processed meat and things like that, all grown and made here on the island. So right now, we have a survey out there, which will hopefully be featured with this story. So we're asking community members to give us input, like, would you frequent a store like this? You know, what would you like to see here? Where would it like to be? Our goal is to have it downtown, but if you have other ideas of where you would like to see this go, we'd love to hear them. We really feel like having a storefront like this downtown would not only, you know, provide another source of these sustenance items, but it would also improve the health of a low-income area, provide access to healthy foods that a lot of people downtown don't have access to, or they have to take a $20 cab ride up to Safeway. In addition to doing other great things like stimulating the local economy, providing fishermen another source of income, providing local people like myself who don't have access to seafood and get to meet your fishermen and your farmers and really appreciate what we can do here as a community. And we're also hoping to make it an educational space, so teach people about what is healthy food and how to make the food that is made or that's grown here. Because there's a lot of things you can do with kale and chard that people just don't know about.
And you said that you both work together to give input on this new group?
Yeah, and so there's different structures for cooperatives. The food co-op that we're the storefront that we're working on would be more of a member-owned cooperative like REI. So that means you become a member and there are benefits to your membership in addition to shopping there. So anybody can shop there. You don't have to be a member, but if you're a member, you get to vote as a member to choose who's on the board, who runs the co-op. We're also hoping to have some sort of dividend, you know, most likely it will be like store credit. So depending on how much you shop at the co-op, if you're a member, you would get store credit at the end of the year to be spent on items there. But then Dana's cooperative is a little different. Do you want to talk about your CSA?
Sure. My cooperative is a growers cooperative. So we, our members are all producers, and we work to provide the support that they need to be able to get their product to the customer. We're for profit because we feel that the cooperative's success will reflect the members' success. So if our growers are doing well and we're actually growing up farmers and we're providing a sustainable income, then we are also doing well as a cooperative and providing an income to maintain our operations. So we handle marketing, sales, website development, and that kind of thing.
Kind of like the whole package of marketing and being that in-between person for some of the growers.
Yeah, one of the pieces that we really felt like growers were having the most difficult time with was selling and pricing and marketing. They want to be able to play in the dirt, and when they're sitting there with their garden boots and dirt under their fingernails, they're not feeling like they can really go in front of the public and sell a lot of the time. So we'll provide that for them, and we have a really nice website, kodiakbounty.org, that answers a lot of the questions. We do all the pricing. We just cut them a check twice throughout the year so that they can manage their operations.
And could you explain a little bit about how this cooperative came to be?
Yeah, so last summer, somebody on Facebook over in Onifognak posted that they were looking for some produce. They were tired of really old, wilted, stale produce showing up there. And so I responded, and I sent them a box of stuff out of my hoop house. And it was really simple. It was really easy. I'd been doing farmers market before, and compared to farmer's market, this was so simple, and I didn't have any leftovers, and there was a lot of the aspects of farmer's market that was difficult that went away with this process. The other thing that happened was I was able to send it out midweek, so I still had plenty for farmer's market, and I was just doubling my sales. So I talked to some of the other gardeners that I was familiar with, and we started playing with it and putting it together, and this is what we ended up with.
Are you comfortable talking about how much you make through this cooperative, like you as a grower, what your profit is?
So last year, without any planning or consideration, just by the seat of my pants, I was making about $600 a month over the summer. As a part-time, you know, I've got kids and a house and a job, so this was just extra added income that I was able to do. This year, you're able to make quite a bit more, and it really depends on how you grow and the kinds of things you grow and what you want to do as to the income that you're going to make. But there's definitely capacity for a good salary. If you were, for instance, decided to be a farmer and grow a full acre, you could make a reasonable, you know, $40,000 to $60,000 a year salary with some planning.
And I'm curious, I'm kind of assuming that you have similar offerings as far as vegetables go. Could you talk about some of the produce you would be selling?
Absolutely. There's last year we had, I think I counted it up at 30 different items. So herbs and, of course, kale and chard grow like crazy here. But we also have tomatoes and garlic and onions and lots of different beautiful lettuces. And lots of weird things. There's things that you can't source in a grocery store. So things like radish pods are something that are very prolific in farmers markets in other countries, but they're really rare in the U.S. because they just don't handle shipping. There's, let's see, what else was there? There was just so many different wonderful things. There was, we had duck eggs one time, and every box is a surprise.
So how have you gotten radish? What was the radish? What?
Radish pods. So radish pods are super easy to grow. It's the seed pod that a radish puts out, and it's kind of like a spicy sugar snap pea. It's got that same texture and consistency, but it's got a little bit of the radish heat that we're kind of familiar with. But it's really juicy, and it's just a wonderful produce. And it grows like crazy by itself.
What kind of food, what would you put that in, salads, or what do you do with that?
Yeah, I snack on them fresh. If the heat is a little too much, you can cook them. They're really common in soups and stews and barbecues and sautés, salads, any of those things.
And, Marissa, could you speak a little bit more about one of the offerings that you've thought about, which is the seafood aspect. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we are really working to figure out how we can successfully partner with local fishermen to get seafood of all kinds, you know, but it will likely be things that you can't access on the road system, like cod and halibut and scallops, things like that. One thing we really have to be careful about is impacting their relationship with the processors, because it's their livelihood. You know, it's a difficult business to be in. It's very dangerous. And we want to promote not only access to seafood, but also sort of celebrate what they go through, like the great lengths it takes to get the fish, you know, on your table. And one thing that I've personally realized through this process is that, you know, you and I are of a generation where we're very mission-oriented, and we will go to great lengths as an employee if we are in love with the mission. And so I think what's not attractive to our generation about fishing is that there's no way to connect with your consumer. There's no way for your consumer to say, thank you. Man, what an amazing fillet. You know, I'm able to feed my family with this one piece of cod that you gave me, or that I bought from you. And so we're hoping to sort of make that connection, but we have run into a few barriers, of course. Selling meat of any kind is highly regulated, but we've also run into some red tape, some legal issues. We recently found out that even if a fisherman has a catch or seller permit, they cannot sell their fish within city limits. So even if the fisherman has proper documentation and has handled the fish appropriately, you cannot go down to the dock and buy directly from their boat, which is an issue for us as a co-op, you know, trying to start the storefront. We've also learned that they have a lack of infrastructure, or that our community, I should say, has a lack of infrastructure. So if we wanted to buy fish in bulk, like a load of cod, there would basically be no way to get it from the boat to some kind of cold storage or a processing facility. So as a consumer, I didn't really know this. This is not something I'm connected with, but I can identify that there's an issue that, like, it's, if you don't know people, it's almost impossible to get things like cod and scallops, you know, if you're not in that network. So I think we as consumers need to pay attention to things like that. Like, before this committee, I had never really paid attention and understood what was happening in the fishing industry, but I think this project is really an opportunity for our co-op member owners to get involved and really show their support for the local fishermen. So I'm hoping that we can sort of rally and help our community develop some infrastructure to not only make this co-op project work, but also just for the layperson who wants to buy some stinking cod can just go down to the docks and buy a fillet of cod or whatever. Because there are a lot of fishermen who do want to meet the people that they fish for.
Yeah, and do you have some way of getting advice about some of these regulations from some of the members of the co-op?
Man, we have a rock star committee, in my opinion. We've got a couple ladies from Kodiak Bounty, and then we have Teresa Peterson from AMCC. We've got Danielle Ringer, who's doing a grad school project or her master's degree. I don't really speak that language either, but her main focus is the graying of the fleet. So, and then we have a couple fishermen who come in and advise us sort of when they're able. So we have made a lot of progress. We've made a lot of connections. We are constantly doing research. My co-chair and I, Tyler Cornelis, we spend a lot of time doing behind-the-scenes sort of paperwork, businessy stuff to keep us moving. Of course, as a cooperative that plans to offer dividends of some kind to its members, we have to be considered a for-profit business, which makes funding for us a little more difficult. We aren't eligible for a lot of typical grants that would go to a 501c3 or a nonprofit of any kind, really, or a tribal entity, et cetera, et cetera. So at some point, we'll have to run a capital campaign. But, you know, right now, there are some local organizations in town who are willing to sort of help us get through the planning process. So we've got a survey out now, but we will be doing more market research because the first step for us is a feasibility study, which will tell us how much we'd need to charge for memberships, what we'd have to charge for produce, what we'd have to charge for seafood, what kind of a location will work, should we rent or own, can our community really support, not just with their dollars, but with their produce, a project such as this.
Yeah, there were so many questions to consider. Dana, is that something that you went through as well when you were establishing your co-op, that you had all these questions and you had to research and pursue them?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that we did find out is there's definitely not enough produce available to meet demand. Kodiak definitely wants to support and buy local fresh stuff from local people, but nobody's really growing it. So that's why we put it in the format that we did in a CSA where we have limited shares. So there's a small number of people that we'll be able to provide for. It'll be really easy on the growers. And even if a grower only does one share, their income will be sufficient to support what they're doing already and maybe add on a little bit.
And was seafood something that you considered selling as part of your package?
Not initially, but we're definitely open to it. The logistics of doing that is a big deal, so we'll see how that develops and where that comes from and keep going there.
It's really great that either one of you or both of you are addressing that, because it seems like there are so many questions, and if you learn how to do it, Marissa, then you can pass along that knowledge to other co-ops, and there could be it could really help the farming community or the growing community here, because it seems that there are so many opportunities here for growth and for growing, and I hadn't realized that when I came to this island, because I had the impression that nothing really grew here because of the weather and the climate, but it actually is, there are so many plants and vegetables and things that grow here. And I'm just curious to hear your backgrounds.
Well, I don't really have a background. I grew up on a dairy farm, so I understand the aspects of the farmer-consumer relationship. I was really active in the 4-H community, which is a big deal in Minnesota. You know, it's not as big here in Alaska, but in Minnesota, we have the largest state fair in the nation. It's like, woo. But as far as gardening goes, I'm actually a terrible gardener. I kill almost everything except for the mint plant that the lovely Donna Reed gave me last year as a housewarming present, because mint is, like, voracious. I couldn't kill it if I wanted to. So that is, like, the perfect plant for me. So if I contributed to the co-op, it would be with mint. So I think that's what makes our committee so awesome, is that Tyler and I kind of have this, like, he's an economic development guy, so he's got that end, and I've sort of got this, like, PR media thing, and then the rest of these guys are just, like, they're really doing the groundwork. They're educating people and, you know, using the language that they have to get people on board. And the community just hosted this fabulous, like, egg symposium last week. A few of the rural communities have some fairly large greenhouses that they're learning to use. So they brought in some extension agents, and there was a guy from the USDA, I think, and there was a lady who talked about food handling, and they put on like a week-long educational session for them, and then they did sort of an open class, I suppose, for just the general public at the library as well last week. And I learned so much about dirt. You know, like, you don't really think about how important the dirt is, but it really is, like, I mean, that's it. If you don't have good dirt, it's really hard to grow anything, or nearly impossible in some cases. So I'm going to pretend like that's the problem. That's why I can't grow things. But I think, you know, having the storefront would allow us to host things like that. We would have a processing space, a commercial kitchen where we could actually teach people and put it into practice. So sorry, I kind of rambled there a little bit, but what I'm trying to say is that we are trying to offer more opportunities to educate people on how to grow their own things. Because while we would love for this to be a successful business, it's also just about us being a secure, sustainable community.
All right. And I'm going to ask you more about how your co-ops contrast and compare, but first I'd like to hear your background in gardening.
So my background is basically they were doing this wonderful hoop house grant program, and so I built one, and that was my first experience with gardening, 2,200 square feet, which is kind of jumping into the deep end of the pool with weights on your ankles. So that's where I'm coming from. I have a lot of experience in administrative and business and that kind of stuff over my career. So partnering with other growers is kind of a good resource. And I'm able to look at it from when I started, I knew absolutely nothing. And I had a really difficult time accessing the information. And the other growers have that information. So we're able to share and network and coordinate. And that's one of their commitments is as much as we're able, we help each other out where we can. So we can support each other and increase productivity and just the entire produce production of Kodiak if it's possible.
And are you currently in business right now? Or are you kind of gathering names, seeing who's interested?
Yeah, we're actually selling right now. We have, I think it was 37 shares available. We've sold 13 as of this morning. It's going along and we're doing pretty good.
When did you start?
We posted them for sale, I think it was April 1st.
All right. So could you tell me a little bit about the differences and some of the similarities between your co-ops and what sets you apart from one another?
So the first difference is that I am a cooperative of the growers, is who we represent, and Marissa, you're a customer's cooperative. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that we'll work together. My cooperative will sell to her cooperative eventually, and the cooperative will be able to negotiate. So the growers don't necessarily have to deal with that if they don't want to. Of course, because we're two separate organizations, a grower can definitely grow to Marissa's cooperative and negotiate their own agreements, which is awesome. And one of the other differences is that we are CSA at this point. We have the ability to change, but we are operating as a community-supported agriculture program. So the customer and the grower are taking equal risks in each share is what that means. And so the customers are directly supporting their farmer that they see every week.
Okay, so it seems like a really great partnership that you have going on, something that will really fit well together, especially when you have a storefront. Do you have some kind of dream space? Like, what's your ideal space?
Something downtown. You know, I think that we can agree as a community, and I think that our planning day really proved it. People came out and said, you know, we really need to get our act together, essentially. And so we really believe that a space like this that is positive. It's a place to educate our community. It's a place to gather. It's a place for some of our major economies to come together. Will bring a new light or an additional light, perhaps. So there are a few buildings downtown that are open that we've been looking at, but of course we can't really get our hopes up too high until we know what's feasible for us. So once we get through the planning stages, hopefully we'll come back and do another story and have some good news and concrete information.
So Marissa, you mentioned community planning, that there is an event that this kind of sprung from. Mm-hmm. Is it true that you're working on several different goals at the same time? During the planning meeting that one day that happened a few months ago, you decided on a few goals. Mm-hmm. And I forget which the other ones were. Could you remind me?
Yeah. So my role with Healthy Tomorrows is not necessarily to get involved in each of the initiatives that are chosen. I sort of play a role on the edge where I ask them about events or fundraisers or meetings that they're having, and I post them on my Facebook page or put them in my newsletter. I can help them identify grants, but I don't help them apply for grants. The reason I'm involved with the food co-op is it fits pretty nicely within the mission of my organization, which is to promote wellness across the island. And this project satisfies pretty much needs of all kinds, right? From obesity to access to food to economic wellness, things like that. So the other initiatives that were chosen were the Homeless Connect initiative, which is co-chaired by Judy Kidder and Allie Strong. And their goal has changed a couple times. Originally, they had a really specific sort of pilot program that they were going to use, but I think that has evolved to something new. I'm not really sure the details. And then there was the Downtown Farmers Market group, and the original goal for that was to do something similar to like Pike's Place Market down in the Spit, but there's a lot of red tape involved with that as well. So at their kickoff meeting, they talked a little bit more about like what's realistic to accomplish within 365 days, because that's sort of the caveat, is you get a $2,000 sort of Kickstarter from Kodiak Strong, which was supported. Providence kicked in some money, Canopy kicked in some money, and then Healthy Tomorrows did as well. So each goal had $2,000. And so the Farmers Market group is currently trying to decide, you know, when and where and what won't take away from the Farmers Market out at the fairgrounds, because they're established and people appreciate it. It's like a community event. You know, people get a chance to meet their farmers and people who make the jams and stuff. So the goal for that is to enhance, you know, the Farmers Market in town and give access to maybe a group of people who can't get out to the flats.
Could you give the listeners a link or a Facebook page that they can go to find out more?
Sure. We have a Kodiak Strong Team Food Co-op page. It's not super active yet because we don't have a whole lot of concrete information to share, but the link to the survey is there. I'm hoping it will be in the story, and then you can also access it on the Healthy Tomorrow's Facebook page.
And we have a website, kodiakbounty.org. Where you can answer most of your questions. There's links to directly contact one of our board members, and of course you can buy a share or bread or connect with one of your farmers to see about getting some milk and meat.
All right, so you guys have been listening to a conversation with Dana and Marissa, who are both working on cooperatives, food cooperatives. Thanks for tuning in to Talk the Rock, and thank you guys for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.